Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Once a computer programmer from Utah, Ken Jennings gained international renown about a decade ago when he dominated Jeopardy for 74 straight games, earning more than $2.5 million and putting himself in the pantheon of Jeopardy greats for all time. His encyclopedic knowledge, quick buzzer reflexes, and genuine sense of wonderment about the whole thing captivated a viewing public that tuned in record numbers to see how long he could last.
And Richard III is correct.
You're killing me, Alex.
I know, but you're killing us. Look what you won. $23,675, a new one-day record, and now a total of $1,321,660.
Jennings so dominated the game's new rules that removed the 5-win limit from its champions, the show has spent the years since his reign bringing back other former greats and IBM supercomputers to challenge him. More on that in a minute. Jennings' game show windfall allowed him to change his life, and before long he traded computer programming for writing, including the books Brainiac, Because I Said So, and Maphead, sending a weekly email quiz, producing board games, and making other television appearances. In March, Jennings will return to Jeopardy, this time to face off against some old friends and foes in the Battle of the Decades tournament. But for now, he's marking the release of two new children's books, The Junior Genius Guide to Greek Mythology and Junior Genius Guide to Maps and Geography from Simon & Schuster's Little Simon imprint. Ken Jennings, a pleasure to welcome you back to the Roundtable. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
What was it that made you want to write a book for kids?
Part of it was having kids myself. You know, my kids are now 7 and 11, and, you know, I was looking for the same kinds of, you know, amazing fact books that first got me interested in, you know, in trivia and in learning when I was that age. You know, I had a bookshelf by my bed that was full of Ripley's Believe It or Not paperbacks and the Guinness Book of World Records, and I just wore books like that out. And it seems like they've sort of gone away. Like, I don't see so many of those, you know, amazing facts about presidents kind of books anymore, and I thought, you know what, I have a lot of experience trying to trick my kids into learning stuff. Why don't I try to write some?
Do your kids follow in your footsteps? Have you noticed any of those same, you know, genes being passed on?
I actually have, especially in my son, who's 11, his latest obsession is Jeopardy, appropriately, and he wants to watch it every night, and you know, I've always loved Jeopardy, but for my part, I get very tense now when I hear the music or if I hear Trebek's voice. You know, it's like I'm back in Nam, you know, and so I'm always like, no, turn that off, and he's like, I want to watch it, so we have a nightly war over Jeopardy.
If he actually wants to go on the show someday, he'll have, like, one of the best trainers in the world to help him.
He certainly has the best interview story, you know, for Trebek. I think he does want that, you know. He talks about it oddly seriously. He's like, I don't know if I want to go on Kids Week. I don't want to use up my eligibility on Kids Week.
I was just going to say that is actually really good thinking, because not everyone would know this maybe, but if you've ever been on, you know, with Alex Trebek, you can't go back on. So if you went on when you were 11, that's it.
Yeah, you can't redshirt Kids Week, so I think he's taking that decision weirdly seriously.
You mentioned earlier that you haven't seen a lot of books out, like the ones that you have right now, kind of targeting younger readers who might be interested in facts and trivia. Why do you think that is?
You know, it may be just because it's become so suffused into our culture that it's no longer a nerdy kind of subculture to be one of these quiz kids. You know, the whole jocks versus nerds war, you know, I think ended pretty decisively 10 years ago when the nerds won. You know, and the internet's full of, you know, any kind of facts you could want. But I still have some nostalgia for these books that would just, you know, tell you amazing things about, you know, the world's largest pumpkin pie, or a giraffe's tongue is 20 feet long, or, you know, whatever the fact of the day is. And I was naive enough to think there might still be kids weird enough to like that, too.
I was expecting maybe a different answer. You haven't touched on technology in the way, you know, now kids are basically born and a lot of them have a tablet in their hand immediately, and they are intuitively able to use technology in a way that might sort of make a long-term end run around books.
Right. I guess I'm sort of pushing back against that because, you know, as much as I love the convenience of having, you know, all the world's information on my smartphone at all times, you know, I do worry that it's making us too willing to outsource that knowledge. You know, like, why would I bother to learn, you know, where Africa is on a map? I could just look that up, right? You know, and I've always been a big believer that, you know, the stuff in our heads is really what makes us who we are, and that you know, we're better, we're more interesting people, we're more interesting conversationalists, where we make better decisions, we're more informed citizens. You know, when we have that stuff, you know, not at our Google tips, but, you know, actually in our gray cells, and you know, I hope books convince, you know, the ethos of the Junior Genius books is really that it's sort of the Jeopardy ethos. It's better to know something about everything than everything about something. You know, that it's a big world out there, and it's an unalloyed good to be curious about it. And I hope that comes across.
But certainly you're in the upper crust when it comes to recall of that information. When did you realize just how much information, A, you knew, and B, you were able to recall immediately?
You know, I used to run home from school every day, even in like fourth grade, to watch Jeopardy. And I knew that, you know, and occasionally I'd get an answer right, even as a little kid, and I'd feel pretty good. And I think I knew that was, you know, a little odd. But, you know, the older I get, I realize it really is just a matter of what your level of interest is. You know, it's not like some people have these freakish photographic memories and everybody else is, you know, just staring slack-jawed at Alex Trebek. I feel like everybody's good at remembering the stuff they're interested in. You know, you got a kid who doesn't know his times tables, but he'll know every word on his favorite album or every stat of his favorite athlete. And you know, the muscles are all there. It's just, you know, when you're interested in something, the facts stick without even having to try. So the trick becomes, how do you get people interested in what's important? Or if you can do it, how do you get people interested in everything?
When you won your first round on Jeopardy, you won 74 games. It lasted over the course of two seasons, and boy, it really changed your life. Do you ever think about what would have happened had you lost that first game?
I think about that all the time. You know, there's some parallel universe out there where I didn't go on on a whim decide to try out, or I, you know, one question falls a different way and I lose that very close first game. And it would be night and day. I was a computer programmer at the time and not a particularly good one or happy one. And I was always wondering, well, you know, I was having this early midlife crisis and thinking, well, maybe I should go back to school. And here I am as a freelance writer, you know, doing what I always dreamed of doing. And it was just a game show fluke. I can't believe how lucky I am. I owe it all to Alex Trebek, I guess.
And the relationship has continued. You know, you are now put into a position of being kind of the ultimate check when we see a great new champion. How would that person stack up against Ken Jennings? And I think the show rather wisely has deployed some of its super champions from time to time in these special tournaments. I wonder how you keep yourself in shape. How do you train for one of those? And how much is it in the back of your head that, you know, every 5-10 years, maybe your phone might ring again?
Right. It does help that I'm sort of a full-time trivia writer now. You know, even if it's not these Junior Genius guys, I write quizzes for Parade magazine and for Slate, and I write about geographic oddities for Condé Nast Traveler. And, you know, I do a lot of this kind of stuff for a living, and it sort of helps keep those muscles working. But like a few months ago, I got a call saying, hey, we're doing this big 30th anniversary tournament, and we'd like to have you back on. And it really was just the same feelings back in 2004, like, oh, shoot, you know, I got to get in fighting shape. So imagine whatever nerdy Rocky montage you want. I'm back in training.
And does that include, you know, watching the show every day again and that kind of thing?
That's the main thing. Yeah, just obsessively watching the show, because you can't really cram for Jeopardy. You know, they could literally ask about anything over, you know, 5 millennia of human learning. You know, you can't study for that the way you can an eighth grade pop quiz, you know. So it really does become just watching the show, trying to get your head back in the game space, trying to, you know, internalize the timing of the very tricky Jeopardy buzzer, you know, all the stuff I did back in 2004.
I can vouch personally for the trickiness of that buzzer. I was the other alternate universe in your example before, losing the first game I ever played. But I have to say, while training, and it's about 3 years ago now, I took a lot of advice and inspiration from your book Brainiac, where you kind of documented how you did it, you know, setting up the podium, standing behind the couch, pretending it was the podium and that kind of thing. And I've been on your email weekly quiz for as long as it's existed, I think.
I hope you had a good time. You know, I always tell people, you know, win or lose, you should try to have fun, because it's just an amazing experience. But you know, getting on the show really is the hard part. You should feel very proud of that.
Well, that's what my parents told me anyway.
They got you the participation trophy for Jeopardy.
Exactly. Exactly. Do you see a change in the show coming with Alex Trebek's age kind of creeping up into the 70s now?
Yeah, he's like 73 now, I think. I took my kids to a taping a couple months ago. We were in LA, and Jeopardy was super nice and let us hang out, and I got pictures of my kids behind the podiums. They were over the moon. People used to ask Alex, "Are you ever going to retire?" And he'd be like, "Nope, you know, I'll do this show from my casket or whatever." But people ask him that now during commercial breaks, and he says, "You know, I think I will be retiring sometime." I think he's thinking he's got a few more years of Jeopardy in him, and then they're going to have to solve the problem of how you replace your 30-year host. It's tricky.
Would you send in your resume for that job?
I would do it in a heartbeat. I don't know if I would even get an audition. You know, they probably want someone with actual hosting experience, which I think is bull. but yeah, what a great job. I would do that in a second.
But on the other hand, you would divorce yourself from any future possibilities of playing.
That's what one of the staffers on the show said that to me. It's like, well, you can't audition, then you wouldn't be able to come back for tournaments. And I was like, are you kidding? You know, the host gets a much easier job and gets paid much better than the contestants do. I hate to bring this to you.
Well, we'll be watching, and I can't wait to see what happens in this Battle of the Decades tournament. They've got a great roster of people, and it always brings out the best in your performance when you have to go up against the very best. So good luck with that.
Thanks. It's all the people I grew up watching on the show that made me want to try out. So this is like, Jeopardy geek heaven.
Well, it's Ken Jennings, and he's the author of two new children's books, including The Junior Genius Guide to Greek Mythology and The Junior Genius Guide to Maps and Geography, out now from Simon & Schuster's Little Simon imprint. Ken Jennings, a pleasure, and good luck retroactively, as they say. We'll be watching.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure to chat with a fellow Jeopardy career.
Maybe the only thing we have in common in terms of Jeopardy, but I will take it.
Between us, we have 74 wins.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.